A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete!
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Comedians in Law podcast. I am your host, Matt Ritter, and with me this week is nobody. Yeah, apparently everybody wanted to spend their day with their fathers for Father's Day, and I can respect that and appreciate that, but my dear old dad is in Mexico right now, so I drew the short straw, and I said, you know what, Comedians in Law podcast needs to be done, and people need to hear us, so hopefully my voice isn't too annoying. I'll keep it fairly short for you guys, but thanks for listening. As always, we like to talk about things that we have upcoming, and as you all know, we have a very big show coming up on June 21st. That would be Friday night at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. We're doing a benefit show for the Gotham Comedy Foundation. So, like we've been saying for weeks now, it's a great show. It's really funny, and it's also for a good cause. It's a great foundation that benefits cancer patients. So, you know, who can't get on board for that? So you can go online, you can go to Gotham Comedy's website, or you can go to Comedians at Law and get your tickets over there. And that's pretty much the most important thing coming up. And we have a bunch of other things. As you all might have noticed, we have yet another podcast. Yeah, like this wasn't enough for us to take on. We now have two legal comedy podcasts. The other one is part of Legal Talks Network. It's a more short form experiment that we're trying out on their talk network. They've got a Legal Talk Network of a bunch of serious podcasts. They thought they'd lighten us up, so they brought us in. So we don't know yet the premiere date, but I think it might be the week of June 23rd. So stay tuned for more info about that. So I thought we'd jump right in with the news stories.
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
This first story is a really interesting one. I think it's a really important one for graduates and college students, and I guess maybe even law students now. It's the internship debate. I'm sure a lot of you saw in the news. A federal judge in New York recently ruled that these kids basically were supposedly working as interns and they weren't getting paid. And the judge made it clear that basically you got to pay these guys, even if it's a minimum wage. Let's not try to keep this gray area gray. He basically said, you know, we're tired of seeing people take advantage of the system and pay people no money for doing real work. The federal judge ruled against Fox Searchlight Pictures. He basically said they broke federal labor law and New York State minimum wage law. So I'm proud of that judge for doing so. These two interns basically were working on the film Black Swan, if you haven't heard the story. And, you know, they were probably getting coffee, dry cleaning, all the thankless tasks that nobody wants to do, ordering lunch, answering phones, taking out people's garbage, I don't know, maybe picking up people's pets, maybe getting, you know, ordering manicures, ordering Chinese food. This is what people do. I work in the entertainment world, and this is what people do to get their foot in the door. And there's sort of is this prevailing thinking that this is okay and this is legal. And really, it hasn't been legal. It's been illegal what they're doing, because under the Fair Labor Standards Act, I mean, there's a pretty clear delineation of, you know, a test of what qualifies as an intern. And this was a Supreme Court case actually from the 1940s, which laid out the six-part test to call somebody a trainee. A couple of the requirements, one of them was the internship has to be similar to training in a school. Unless you're going to a barista school, I'm not really sure how that would ever qualify as training for school. Another qualification was it had to have been for the benefit of the intern, which is a pretty gray area because you could always say, hey, you're doing this and it's going to help you get ahead in the entertainment field. The next one is, and this is where it really gets murky, the intern doesn't displace paid workers and the employer derives no immediate advantage from the intern's activity. And here is I take huge issue because I've seen it out in LA where, you know, people are having a hard time getting paid jobs, working their way up into the industry, and they're graduates and they have degrees and they have skills, and the employer says, well, you know what, we'll start you with an unpaid internship and we'll take it from there. And next thing you know, 9 months in, you're still, you know, delivering their dry cleaning, and then you're doing real work on top of that and you're not getting paid. And it's really just a scam. I'm calling it out for what it is, the scam. I'm really happy that the judge ruled this way. I'm just tired of seeing this, people getting taken advantage of, especially with the way the economy is right now. It's sort of a downward spiral because it displaces, you know, real wage workers, and the economy can't recover. There's really no reason, if a judge doesn't step up like this judge did, for these companies to not keep trying to do this stuff. It's really unethical. And, you know, basically it comes down to, is this internship's goal to train and teach the intern rather than provide free labor for the employer? And most situations that I've ever seen in Hollywood, I would say, are providing free labor for the employer, and it's a scam. I hope this doesn't get me in trouble in Hollywood, but I'll tell you right now, if I ever have a production company, I will pay them minimum wage. No more than minimum wage, but I will pay them the minimum. But for some reason, you know, the laws have been clear on this, but for some reason in the entertainment field, it's just become increasingly easy for companies to, you know, try and get people to shine their shoes for free and, you know, quote, build their resumes. And I'm really glad that finally a judge in New York took a stand. I'm really eager to see how this plays out in LA. And he also, another interesting thing to note is that he also certified them for a class action. So I'm really excited to see them start to pay out these interns. And I also wish I was working as a class action lawyer, because that would be a nice little payday, because I'm going to guess that the first couple suits will sell for somewhere between $5 and $20 million. That's my guess right now. Obviously, the downside for these interns is they're never going to get a job in Hollywood. That's just sort of how it works. If you've heard the term blacklist, these guys are going to be blacklisted. And kudos to them for getting certified for a class, so they probably won't ever have to work again. And I guess I want to hear from you guys. Tweet us at #CALPod if you think there are any fields where there are legitimate unpaid internships. I haven't seen any. Maybe in the medical profession. But I'm a little worried now. You know, their summer intern programs, they pay a lot. I'm very curious to see if, you know, a lot of firms who might have been thinking about cutting their programs and not paying people are thinking again because of this ruling. So tweet us at #CALPod if you have an opinion on whether you think, you know, there is such a legitimate thing as an unpaid internship program anywhere, because I haven't seen any. So let's move on to the next topic. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the NSA and the illegal wiretaps. Well, this was a really interesting argument. A defense lawyer for a client in Florida requested that the NSA give their surveillance records in order to support his claim that he wasn't in the vicinity of the bank at the time it was being robbed. So he's basically saying, I robbed a bank. I'm being charged with robbed a bank. I was nowhere to be found. And the only way to prove this is if we get the NSA to, you know, give us all their illegal wiretaps. So I love this. I mean, this is really a citizen stepping up to the plate here, even though he is a criminal. I really like where this is going. I would like the NSA to hand over some of my late night texts from this weekend, because I want to prove that I didn't text some of these girls that are claiming that I texted. The prosecution told defense attorneys they weren't able to obtain Brown's cell phone records prior to 2010 because his carrier, Metro PCS, had not held on to them. Yeah, that's why you gotta have Verizon. They always have records of their overbilling and overcharging. But Brown's attorney, very clever guy named Marshall Dore-Louis, argued in court in Fort Lauderdale that, hey, you know who has these records? You know who has my cell phone records? The NSA, the National Security Agency. And to back it up, he says, hey, you know what? The President of the United States has recognized this program's been ongoing since 2006 to gather everybody's phone numbers and related information, including my clients. So I kind of like this argument. I kind of like to see where this goes. I mean, maybe it'll just get thrown out, but maybe people are going to start using that as a defense. Maybe the NSA really shot themselves in the foot trying to overreach here. So again, tweet us at CALPod if you have an opinion about whether you think criminals should now be able to request NSA records to prove their innocence. I just love the idea of people using it on a personal level, just like, baby, I swear I did not call that woman. You don't believe me? Call the NSA, baby, call the NSA. See what Alder's got to say. Next up, we're going to do an interview with Matthew Kaufman from Rocket Lawyer, so stay tuned for that.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Comedians at Law podcast. We have a very special guest on the line here. He is the head of Rocket Lawyer Attorney Services. He was a Fordham Law School grad. He went to UVA undergrad. And welcome to the podcast, Matthew Kaufman.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks a lot.
You actually came to one of our shows.
I did. I saw you guys were going to be here in San Francisco, so I popped in and had a great time.
Yeah, I was just going to say the first thing we should do is have you tell all our listeners how amazing we were at comedy.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, I just couldn't stop tweeting and Facebooking and everything about it.
Yeah, and then we met after the show, and we it's taken us this long to get this together. So my apologies for stringing you along like that.
Oh, not at all. It's I've definitely been strung along before.
Yeah,
but those are really painful, deep stories.
Yeah, no, I mean that's what we do. We treat all of our guests like girlfriends, basically. We string them along, and then we never propose. But thank you for doing the podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners? I think our listeners are potential clients of yours. Why don't you tell them what Rocket Lawyer is and why it's so great and why they should use it.
Oh, great. Yeah. So Rocket Lawyer is a great online service to help folks, whether they be families or small businesses, really take care of any leads. So whether that's folks, they're legal, trying to do a will, or folks trying to, you know, start up a small business, they can come to our site and either do some of the basic stuff themselves or work with the group that I'm largely responsible for is work with the local attorneys. And so with the local attorneys, they can ask a question online, basically get a digital answer back within a few minutes or within a day, or actually just chat with an attorney. And if they ever need to hire somebody, they get pre-negotiated rates. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's obviously really cool, but what does this mean, you know, as a larger, bigger picture for the legal profession? I mean, are you guys the future, and is are small law firms doomed or big law firms doomed? How does it all tie together?
Yeah, it's actually it's the opposite of doomed. It's actually creating more opportunity. So folks are without a doubt trying to do things themselves. You know, we are. I think we all know in sort of this do-it-yourself generation, and so folks are trying to do legal things themselves the same way, or actually they shouldn't be doing it. Their own way. The same way they shouldn't be doing medical services, right? You would never operate on yourself.
I do a little DIY stitching sometimes, you know.
Oh, very.
If I get a little dinged up, I break out the sewing kit.
You seem quite skilled. I was quite impressed with your show. So I can only imagine what you're able to do in the medical field.
But I agree with you. People should not be just drafting their own documents on their own without help.
Yeah, and you know what we see are the folks who are using our services, over 60% of them we know are actually talking to a lawyer for the first time. And these aren't 7- and 8-year-olds using the website, right? These are folks who are you know, either seasoned professionals or actually, you know, middle-aged, and they've just been avoiding going and talking to lawyers. And so now they're coming to our site, they're looking to do some things themselves, and we're advocating that, hey, you really need to seek the advice of counsel. And they're going ahead and getting those problems solved. So it's basically long answer to the short question. I don't think that the small or even the large law firms are doomed. I just think that there's a new way of delivering these services and making sure that people get what they need.
Fair enough. Now, let me ask you a personal question. You're the head of attorney services. Does that mean you've figured out a way to work in the law without actually having to do the grunt work of drafting documents?
That is exactly spot on, yes, and I am very happy for it.
Well played. I always think that anybody who can...
You found a way to be in the law and have everyone smile at you.
Yeah,
so,
kudos. We're tipping the hat to each other, you know? It's good. It's a good move. Good moves. So I actually was just talking on the podcast. I don't know if you'd like to chime in, but we like to tackle topical issues. And one of the things that I was talking about, I don't know if you saw the ruling in New York against unpaid internships. Did you see that ruling?
I did not. I did not. What was that?
Basically, these two kids were quote unquote interns at a studio in LA, and they were doing real work and not getting paid for it, and this is happening all across the country at jobs, in any industry, and including the legal industry. I mean, they were paying summer associates. I don't know if you were summer associates, but they paid me a decent wage. But now a lot of firms have sort of tried to pull this intern stuff, and New York court finally said no, it's not, it doesn't fit the internship requirement.
So the law firms were doing the unpaid internship?
I think some were starting to trickle into it, but I think, since they're all lawyers, I think they know better. Even though it was kind of a gray area of the law, this was the first time a judge had finally sort of put the anvil down on this practice that sort of, it's really anti-business and it's not really good for the economy to have, basically replacing our low-wage workers with just interns all over the place.
Right.
And I wanted to ask... Do you guys have interns at Rocket Lawyer?
We don't do unpaid internships to Rocket Lawyer. We do hire folks. We have a lot of independent contractors who come on board, and we have a very, very good, look and view of making sure that we are keeping apprised of everything and doing everything on the books.
What do you look for in a lawyer to join Rocket Lawyer?
So the lawyers are actually, none of them are employees or technically independent contractors paid by Rocket Lawyer. What the folks who join up with Rocket Lawyer are a nationwide network of independent legal counsel. And what we look for the folks who join the network are largely folks who are licensed and in good standing. We make sure that everyone's got professional liability insurance. And we also have them come through and join through an orientation. Where we go through a lot of the best practices that are actually shared from the other attorneys that are in the network and are also all sort of these believers that there are more efficient and better ways to service the needs of folks who need legal services and are able to provide that through, electronic means, whether they're doing it over instant messaging or actually email. And then most of our consultations are done over the phone. And so folks who are really looking to help folks more so than just kind of keep ringing the bills.
Who came up with Rocket Lawyer? I like that. It's like, I don't know. Do you guys have a mini rocket ship in the office?
I wish. I take that back. We do have a mini rocket ship. We've got a couple of them floating around the office. We even have one made of all glass.
Wow. How big is it?
It is the glass one's about, I want to say about 3 feet high. Unfortunately, no mission control or anything.
Ah, all right. Well, next time in San Fran, I may want to swing by and check out the rocket ships. Let me change gears. We like to do a little light Q&A here on the podcast. I want to ask you, if you could change one law, what would it be?
Yeah, so there we go. We're gonna get political. I thought we were gonna go light on there.
Well, some people, will go light. Some people will go political.
Yeah, well, there's definitely the lighthearted ones, but the one that really jumps straight into my head when asked that question is the laws against gay marriage. That would definitely be the one that pops right into my head there. It's hard to ask a lawyer that question, and I know it's a comedic podcast.
No, we get political. You're preaching to the choir on Comedians at Law. We are very big proponents of equal rights and gay marriage. And look, it seems like a lot of states are clear, carving a path for that. So
yeah,
hopefully that's a good one. That's a very good one. And how about this one? How about your favorite legal movie?
Oh, that one's easy. That's My Cousin Vinny. I don't know. I don't know how that ranks up in the spheres of legal movies, but I hysterical. And then also was always told by every lawyer that I've met that is the perhaps most spot on version of what it means to actually practice law. So believe it or not.
Here's the thing. When you say My Cousin Vinny, the follow up is we need to hear your Joe Pesci.
Oh, you know, my Joe Pesci is...
Or your Marissa Tomei. You can do either one.
Hey, look, I've taken years, I tell you, trying to get rid of my New York accent. You know, I've gone and lived in Virginia and abroad and just to try and bring it back. I think next time you come up to San Francisco, we'll have to have a few drinks and it'll come back for you.
Okay, well, I'll do mine then, right? I'll do the scene with... Vin, third time's a charm, though, Vin, right? For me, it was seven. That was me doing Joe Pesci.
Telling
his cousin that he passed the bar after the seventh attempt.
Nice. So I guess you would have been a fan of the two Utes.
Two Utes. Two what? Two youths.
Youths.
Youths. All right. Good call there. I can subscribe to that. And finally, if you left the law completely, right? If tomorrow, no more law. What would you do? What would you do?
You'd have a resume on your desk for the comedians at law over there, my friend.
Really?
It would always be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you've got that comedic bug, you know, next time we're in San Fran, maybe we'll throw you on the show for a, you know, 2-minute spot, 5-minute spot. What do you think you could handle up there?
That's generous. I'll start out with the two. How about that?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll give you a little two-minute audition, and you know, maybe you'll catch the bug and you'll just want to walk away from your job.
You bet, it's on.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. And of course, before we let you go, tell all of our listeners how to find you, and you know, what do they do? How does it work?
Yeah, so you can always just go to www.rocketlawyer.com. And it's pretty easy to go from there. You can just click a button if you wanted to create a document, or click a different button if you want to talk to a lawyer. Like I say, it's not really rocket science.
Oh, that's a good one.
Pun intended, or partial pun intended.
Completely intended there. Well, thank you very much, Matthew Kaufman, for doing the podcast. And we will see you up in San Fran, and you'll be doing a little spot on our show maybe. We'll see.
You got it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Right.
Next up, it's the section we like to call Good Cop, Bad Cop. Of course, this week it's just going to be me, so it'll be a little weird.
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just, I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I got to go even bigger than that since we're doing Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
What? No, I said Good Cop, Bad Cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
So I want to give a quick shout out to all of our new followers that we have this week. Kathy Menard, Azreen, Emma Rollerson, Komodo 84, Cascarano, John, Bill Drews, of course, is the Gotham Comedy Foundation, Shay Say, Lauren L. Smith Girl, Alex Craigie, Bar Exam Superhero, Dale Wittis, let's see. Who else do we have here? And then we have, you know, who are we going to give out our free T-shirts to? We got RMN Global Search retweeted us. We had Chris Yahoo Pollard, CO6, Chris Riley, Adil Saeed, Carrie Gravenson, Pink Collar Tour, USA Job Teach. Wow, we picked up a lot of followers this week. Liz Brown was tweeting at us. We had, let's see, who else? Scott Atkinson did a little tweet about us. Dave Lindquist retweeted us. And then we had Beej Esquire. I don't know what that means. Jeminwall, Travis Knight, Liz Barrett, and Hobbs. So one of you is going to get a free T-shirt. Let's see. We have K-A-E. We have Anjali retweeted us. Did anybody... Question is, did anybody hashtag CAL pod? I'm looking to see if anyone did that, because that's what we give. I'm playing bad cop here a little bit. If you didn't hashtag CAL pod, I'm not sure we can give out a free t-shirt. But there were a lot of you tweeting at us, which I like. The good cop part of me says you should all get a free t-shirt. But the bad cop part of me says nobody hashtagged CAL pod. So if you want that free t-shirt, you just got to hashtag CAL pod. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. That's how it's going to continue to work. We appreciate the love. We're just sticklers for the rules. So I'll tell you what. First person to tweet hashtag CAL pod this week is going to get a free t-shirt. And the second person to tweet hashtag CAL pod is also going to get a free t-shirt, because I'm in a giving mood and I'm the only one on this podcast tonight because my dad's in Mexico doing God knows what. So it's just me here with my baby, my dog. I am her father, because we don't know who her real father is. I don't know. He's some French bulldog in Canada. But since it's here by me by myself, I have authorized myself as a good cop to give out two free t-shirts to the first two people who hashtag CAL pod to Twitter. So thank you guys for listening in. I hope I kept it short and entertaining, even though I have this strange, deep, a little burned out, raggedy voice. So please come check us out June 21st at Gotham Comedy Club. We really appreciate the support. It's for charity. And thank you for listening, and tune in next week.